Friday as well as Easter Sunday, and hope that all of you, as well as your friends, can join you in being a part of that. So today, Pastor Jamie mentioned, we're starting a new series called Heaven Now. Specifically today, looking at this idea of perspective. Now, the older that I have gotten, the more that I've realized the importance that perspective plays in life. And when I say perspective, I mean that point of view, the vantage point that you have, the angle that which you see things, or the lens that which you view things through. Depending on where you're standing or what you're doing depends on what you see. You may see things a little differently. For example, if I stand here and I look back this way, you know, I can't quite see you, but if I change and come over here, see, now I can see you. So if you fall asleep, I know. So if I'm coming over here and you're starting to nod off, that get it, okay? If I come over here, go ahead. You know, I can't see you. I come over here, I change my perspective, now I can see. Don't fall asleep. I'll just glare at you. You may see like more or less depending on your perspective, but it's the same scene, it's the same picture. Matter of fact, there's an artist, his name is Matthew Robert Ordis, and he illustrates this idea of perspective perfectly in his wire sculpture. And you guys can see a picture of it up here. It's of two giraffes. And as you stare at them, you realize that the picture begins to change. Now, nothing's being added, nothing's being taken away. It's just that the two giraffes literally become an elephant. Now, they were the same picture that's always existed. Nothing was added. Here's what ends up happening, though. Depending on what you want to see depends on where you stand. They're both always there. Even though, as our eyes stand in different positions, we see two totally different pictures, our brains, the amazing working of our brains, shows us that it's actually just one whole picture. Again, depending on what we want to see will depend on where I stand to see it. But perspective is not just limited to eyesight. Perspective also has to do with our spiritual lives and our emotional views. Our perspective, or more broadly put, our worldview, shapes what we believe. It's literally the lens through which we view and interpret life. Last week, Pastor August finished up our series called The Talk, and he talked a little bit about this idea of purity. Now, if you missed at any of the 3 weeks that we did on The Talk, or if you're like, wow, I don't really know what that is, go to this website. We have our resources still up there. The whole premise of this series was, as a church, that we would talk about sexuality, that we would take the birds and bees discussion that is always somehow awkward when it's talked about between kids or between adults, and we would make it more awesome. And so if you're struggling with trying to make that conversation, not the talk, but the conversation, the ongoing conversation, less awkward and more awesome, make sure you write this website down. Go check it out. Check out some of the resources that are there that you can use either to talk to your kids or talk to your peers. It's very hard to have an awesome discussion on sexuality. And so these resources help you take it from awkward to awesome. But last week, Pastor August wrapped up this series talking about purity and how purity is not about a list of do's and don'ts, but it's actually about this constant prayer that we have between us and Jesus. And it goes a little bit about this. It's like praying, Jesus, I absolutely surrender all. Like, I'm actually going to do this. I'm going to surrender everything so that your kingdom can come. Your will, not my will, your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you pray a prayer like that, understand, that doesn't just leave heaven as this somewhere far away forever place, okay? It doesn't look at that and say, okay, that's just this place over here. It actually brings this idea that the miracle you need, the difference that needs to be made in your life, the freedom that you don't just want, but you absolutely have to have, is here. It's right here, right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the person of Jesus Christ himself. See, purity is much more about perspective and prayer than it is about do's and don'ts. And that's where we're going to be going today. That's the question that we're going to ruminate on. What's your perspective? Think about that as we bring up different points today. What's the lens you see the world through? What is your vantage point? Now, our prayer in this lead up to Easter for this entire series would be that we would open our eyes to have an eternal perspective. Have one that literally sees things like God sees them. That he would literally show us how to view that heaven is both now and forever. And so we think the best way to do that is to look at a prayer. The best way that we can understand how we can have an eternal perspective, God's perspective on life, is to look at a prayer by Jesus himself. And so if you got your Bibles, you can open up to John 17. We're going to start in verse 1. If you have your phones, you can whip your phones out, go to the Bible app, go there. I've been getting teased lately that Pastor August likes to use a paper Bible and that I use technology. I'm going to say right now, the reason I use technology is because you ever try to do this? It doesn't fit. It's a lot harder, okay? And I don't carry a man purse all the time, and so it's just harder to fit it in there, all right? But if you brought your Bible, get your paper Bible out. If you didn't, get your electronic Bible out. Go to John 17. We're going to look at Jesus' prayer. Now, prayer is communication between us and God. Even Jesus practiced it, and he practiced it so that you and I could see a model for what prayer looks like. See, Jesus, he actually prayed for lots of different things. He prayed for other people. He prayed for guidance. He prayed for those who were lost. He prayed for even those who believe, even the disciples and all their mixed upness. He prayed to praise God. He prayed to give thanksgiving to God. He even prayed for himself. Yeah, Jesus, the Son of God, even prayed for himself. Matter of fact, in the beginning of John 17, which is the longest recorded prayer by Jesus, he begins it praying for himself. Now, let me give you a little bit of setting. If you open up your Bibles, you may see like a heading on there, a prayer of Jesus or the high priestly prayer or a farewell prayer. Well, that's because when this happens, Jesus had just finished the Last Supper, last meal on earth that he shared with his disciples. And it was in between that time of having the Last Supper and actually carrying his cross to be crucified on the hill, that which we remember on Good Friday. And Jesus had just finished teaching all who had gathered about the Holy Spirit and about how to stay connected to him even though he was leaving. And his disciples were like, wait a minute, I'm connected with you because I can see you. What's going on? And he's like, oh, you don't get it. And so he just goes into prayer. And he prays it out loud. And John records it like this. John 17, verse 1. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. Now, can you do me a favor? Everyone say so. Good. You say it like you mean it. If you got a Bible, highlight it, underline it. That word so, two letters, very important. We're going to need that later. So he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. Jesus opens up the longest recorded prayer that we have in Scripture by asking God to glorify him. You know, glorify, like bestow honor, give praise, admire and admiration should be heaped upon him. Now, maybe it's just the way that I read the Bible, but I read that and I think, boy, Jesus, that's a little presumptuous, okay? I mean, Jesus is being asked, is asking God to put him on a pedestal, to honor him for all the work he's done for the last 3 years. Now, I get it. 3 years is a long time, but I mean, it's not even like a decade. I mean, it's 3 years, and all of a sudden, Jesus is like, hey, God, can I have all the glory? Now, I don't know much, but I do know enough that the right way to be glorified or honored is not to ask for it, right? I mean, we look at that and we go, okay, as a human being, I get that. But I read this and I think to myself, you know what? But here's what's different. That little word that I had you repeat, those two letters, so, is what makes Jesus' desire for glory very different from you and I's desire for glory and honor. See, Jesus did not desire glory for his own gain, like we selfishly do. Jesus asked for God's glory in order to glorify God himself. Verse 1 tells us, in order so he can give glory back to you. Jesus prayed. I think if anyone understands this principle of perspective, it's Jesus, God's own son. Here he is. He spent 33 years living on the earth, the last three doing nothing but ministering to all people. He experienced everything that you and I ever have and ever will. And then, when the end is drawing near, like hours before he is going to die one of the most excruciating deaths, he takes on a heavenly perspective and prays for himself. He does it out loud. He could have prayed silently, but he does it out loud so all that are gathered, all his disciples, including John, can hear it. And then John records it for your benefit and for mine. His perspective, Jesus' perspective, is not what you'd expect from a guy who's about to die, literally hours away from dying an excruciating death. Instead, he prays through the lens of eternity, not one who's trying to suck the last precious hours out of life, but through the lens of now and forever. See, through the lens of eternity, so that what exists in heaven forever would actually also be here right now. Look at verse 5. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world even began. He literally links the glory that he asked for so that he may glorify God himself. He links that glory to the glory that he once enjoyed since the beginning of time when he was with God the Father in heaven. Before all that was existed, he links these two glories and says they are the same. See, Jesus was beginning the process that he himself completed on Easter. This process of literally dragging heaven from the there and then down to earth in the here and the now. He was preparing himself. He was preparing his disciples. He was preparing all future believers for what the resurrection on Easter Sunday would ultimately bring. This concept of heaven forever as well as heaven now. Jesus' resurrection said, listen, I get eternal life. I get heaven is there and then, but it also is for you here and now. And so this Easter season, let's focus not on just what will someday go as Christ followers, but the idea that as Christ followers, as people who believe in Jesus, who follow him, that it's our job to bring God's glory here and now. Here's the problem, though. You can't be a part of bringing God's glory from there and then to be here and now, literally heaven on earth, unless you actually know who Jesus is. See, eternal life. A lot of times we like to think of eternal life as that thing that kicks in the moment we die and we get to hang out and chill with Jesus in heaven. But eternal life starts far before that. Eternal life starts the moment that you say, you know what? I can't do it all on my own. Jesus, I need you. It's at that moment that your life now has no end. It is everlasting. It is eternal. You can't bring something that is eternal to the temporal unless you know it. That's why in verse 3, in the middle of Jesus' prayer for himself, he almost takes like a pause and says, verse 3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. He takes a step back and prays in the third person, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. See, a relationship with Jesus is about knowing his nature, knowing his character, and then embodying it in your life. That is truly living. It's not just this idea of knowing God so that someday you can be in heaven and living forever, but it's about knowing Jesus so that you can live, truly live here and now. And so the question is kind of simple. Do you know the only true God? Do you know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world? Because he's the one that God sent to earth to live a perfect life, only to be killed unjustly, undeserving, in order to pay your price and my price for the imperfection that exists in me, that I conjure up every day, the sin that overtakes me. He paid the price for that by dying and then being raised from the dead just 3 short days later, thus giving you and I and every human on earth the opportunity for everlasting life. If you don't know that Jesus, if you don't know that security, if you don't know that literal everlasting life, you need to, because here's the fact. Every single one of us, we get one life. And in order to make it count both now and forever, rests on our choices. Rests on what you decide and what you want to do for you. See, Jesus gives us all the opportunity to have a very unique perspective, vantage point, lens through which to see our world. It gives us the opportunity to see our life through heaven's eyes, through a perspective that doesn't just see the immediate, but literally gives us a view from forever into now and encourages us to live that out. See, this eternal perspective is life, with the hope that Jesus gives us and provides for us all. There was a commercial a couple weeks ago during the Winter Olympics, and this commercial played like a million times, so it's like seared into my brain. And it starts with this young woman who had lost both her legs. I'm assuming it was from an accident. Maybe she used to serve in the armed forces, but she has 2 prosthetic legs on, and you see her holding on to 2 bars and trying to walk. And she keeps saying, I can't. And it flashes to different people failing and falling and saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. And the commercial comes back around to the end. The same woman on the same bars walking, but this time she's got these virtual reality goggles on. And when she looks down, she doesn't see her prosthetic legs. She doesn't see this ability not to walk. She doesn't say, I can't. Instead, she actually sees 2 real legs walking on a beach with water lapping her toes. And her can'ts turn into cans. Her perspective changed in that short 30-second commercial. Maybe this morning you're here today and you are that lady. You are filled with all kinds of can'ts. Maybe your question, maybe what's running through your brain is not, do I know or not know Jesus? Your question is, how can I have this perspective of heaven on earth if I feel like everything I'm experiencing, everything in my life is actually just some version of hell? That's very real. I want to read you one more of Jesus' prayers. It comes a little earlier in the Gospels. It comes from the book of Matthew, the first gospel, Matthew chapter 6. And in this Matthew chapter 6, it's in the middle of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. And he brings a prayer. If John 17 that we started with was Jesus' longest recorded prayer, I think this might be his most powerful recorded prayer. And it's Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. And it says this, "Our Father in heaven." But before he even gets there, he says, hey, everybody, hey. This is how you should pray. Okay, anytime Jesus says, like, hey, this is how you should do something, I need you to pay attention, okay? Chapter 9, or verse 9 says, this is how you should pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." If you look back to the middle of that prayer, verse 10, Jesus says this, "Your," talking right to his Father God, "your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, Jesus' prayer was not for us to accept him and then just longingly look for that someday that we'll get to heaven and be able to enjoy everything. No, to be a Christ follower means that we should be secure in the promise of heaven forever, but at the same time, live in the power of forgiveness and love that heaven exists now. Yes, I get it. Some version or some experience tells you that you are living, that your reality is somehow a version of hell. But even if that's you, that does not have to dictate your perspective. Your perspective can still be one of eternal nature. Because here's the reality. Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he literally made a bridge to eternity. Not so that we can just walk there someday and arrive at the pearly gates or whatever it looks like, but also so that we can help bring heaven here each and every day. Because God said, "My kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus is the only way to experience life forever, and it's also the only way to experience his glory here on earth right now. But if you don't know Jesus, if you lack the security and the hope of forever in heaven, or even the fact that there's hope for life now with Jesus, then I'm going to invite you to pray with me. To pray for yourself just like Jesus did. If Jesus can save, if he is the author and the creator of life itself, then he has the power to redeem. He has the power to rescue and renew you from whatever hell you think you're in right now. He has the power to give you an eternal perspective to see even through the hell you think you're in, to view the heaven that is all around. And so I would ask you to pray with me. Maybe it's the first time you've ever prayed for forgiveness, for a perspective that Jesus has. Maybe it's like your 4,000th time for that prayer, asking for forgiveness, for God's perspective over your own. I pray that you would pray with me, that you would see that heaven is both now and forever. And so I give you permission right now. Close your eyes where you're at. Put your Bibles down. You can put your notes down. You don't have to worry about your neighbor, your child, your spouse, your friend. I give you permission, like Jesus, to be selfish for just a few moments and pray for yourself. To pray with me to Jesus, the forgiver, the healer, the hope-filled, eternal perspective, God. And so, Jesus, we open ourselves to you. We ask that your perspective would become the lens that we see and live through. God, I pray that it's your love, your forgiving nature and character that becomes our perspective. Jesus, help us to make a commitment to you. God, help us to commit not just our lives, but our daily choices to your Son. Make a commitment to you that goes beyond the someday in heaven and brings it alive for us today here on earth. And so, friends, if you're here today and that's you, you know you need to make that commitment. You need to accept and believe and choose. Now's your time. You can literally pray these words after me. You can pray them in your heart. You can pray them out loud, but I pray that you pray it so you mean it. Say this: Jesus, I accept you. I accept your love. I accept your forgiveness. I accept the fact that I have sin and I need your love. I need your forgiveness. But God, I also believe. I believe you sent Jesus for me. And so today, I choose. I choose you, Jesus. I choose your perspective. I choose your way. And I choose it every day, both now and forever. And that any glory would be yours. Jesus, in your name, I pray. Amen. And friends, when across this room, when you say amen, it's saying, I believe in that. Let it be so. You're actually asking God, let it be so. And so here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you would stand all across this room, we're going to sing one more song. It's that song that we ended with, that we went into offering, and we went into the message today, that says, the Spirit is here. I love the first verse. It says, the atmosphere is changing now. Friends, many of you need an atmosphere change. Sing it out and help usher it in today.